Frank and Maury. Keep your mouth shut. Watch your tongue, I put it in the George Foreman. You ain't never robbed the store, guess your life's boring. Thick liquor, that Patron, yeah, my wife's pouring. Pretty women in my phone, cause I'm quite gorgeous. I got a pretty face, but I still take your things from your living space. I'm on a dinner date, but I still smack your face with a dinner plate. Figure skating on the block, sonny. Got a split triple flip like I'm John Curry. It's not funny, I run your pocket, son. Got a tool, I'm a fool with the shiny gun. Ooh, 3 in the morning, I'm making big moves while the wife's snoring. Cows on and a can of Sprite. I'm off my damn noodle and I'm down to fight.
Bow, bow, run a man down. Hit him with the bingy and a sticky when I blow. Bow, bow, run a man down. Hit him with the bingy and a sticky when I blow. Bow, bow, run a man down. Hit him with the bingy and a sticky when I blow. Bow, bow, run a man down. Hit him with the bingy and a sticky when I blow.
Say hello to your mother for me. Dodged the last charge, but I got another on me. And keep my name out your damn mouth. Drop the kids at the pool at the clam house. You soft, I stub you like a cigarette. Never had a day job, but I got a bigger check. Dripping wet chain like a fishing net. Do a little dance in the rain with pirouette.
Posted at the corner store, hot soup. Hit you with the ladle, what you running for? Blue lights wildin', who'd you think they coming for? I'm down to do a couple years if it's popping off. Slap you down like a pepper steak. Leave you laying in the gutter, let you marinate. Tip the scales with the counterweight. Slap my ticket on the counter, baby, validate.
Bow, bow, run a man down. Hit him with the bingy and a sticky when I blow. Bow, bow, run a man down. Hit him with the bingy and a sticky when I blow. Bow, bow, run a man down. Hit him with the bingy and a sticky when I blow. Bow, bow, run a man down. Hit him with the bingy and a sticky when I blow.
Verbose.xyz, kicking it blah blah sticky tonight. Those are my boys, Frank and Maury. Shout out to y'all. Fucking, I hope you get back in that Dunkin' Donuts. I'm the mad scientist, Miles LaRue, coupled with my man, Crafter, a.k.a. my dick run hot, a.k.a. 2-for-1, 2-for-$6 beef and cheddar from Arby's special. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Boom, I'm here. I'm here for 47, jamming at fucking Frank and Maury, those old dudes.
Fucking 75 and 92 or some shit?
I don't know. I don't know if it's really their age. I don't know, but I'm falling for it. I'm like, yeah, this shit's lit, son.
The problem is the state of the rap game, we've talked about this before, is so fucking, it's bullshit, man. And I was thinking about this before the show, man. I think we need to come to terms that ecstasy ruined rap.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the mass, yeah, too much Molly, dude. Like, Molly doesn't make you a savage. It makes emo rap, like the fucking... Juice Worlds of the world, you know, it makes these fucking, yeah, lean was the beginning, you know. El Japo, I totally fucking agree with you. If they wouldn't have, you know, left all the pharmaceuticals to the people who do the pharmaceuticals and stuck with the weed, then you good. Weed, cocaine, you know, those are things that, you know, those are like what gangsters do. You know, you don't do like a bunch of Molly and like rub on yourself and fucking suck on pacifiers. That doesn't sound gangster to be.
Nice. God dude, damn it.
No hobo. What the fuck ever. Blows my mind. But it makes me sad, you know, because drugs are fun and shit and you know, everything. But when it turns one of the most influential and like from the heart of what people are actually experiencing to fucking like the same pussy money weed bullshit over and over again to like a disco hit, fucking, it hurts the heart. Like literally, I feel like that new Uzi Vert song that just dropped, that shit is literally like the worst house music ever mixed with rap. I don't understand what happened.
Maybe it was the Xanax too. It's the lean, the Xanax, and the Molly all mixed in.
Right? Isn't that how Juice WRLD die? That's how he died, convulsed. Fucking, I gotta give it up to fucking TikTok too for that shit. I don't know if I remember Bone doing the Ecstasy song though. El Chapo. I don't think I remember that. Wait, what was I saying? What did I just say? Fuck. I lost my train of thought. Rewind.
You're talking about buttholes?
Oh, Juice WRLD.
And their size in relation to Juice WRLD.
Fucking TikTok and Juice WRLD, my bad. Fucking TikTok, right? You got to give it up to TikTok. Because they literally, like, day one of Juice WRLD's death, they were playing that, like, I still see your shadows in my room song. And, like, singing it, lip-syncing it, and then putting Alka-Seltzers in their mouth and convulsing and falling on the ground. It's fucking amazing. Like, how the fuck, day one, can a community be so spot on? TikTok. It's a wave of the future, kids.
Fuck that shit. That's Chinese spyware.
That's Huawei, dude.
Chinese That's Huawei. Spyware. Huh. TikTok is banned from all government phones and military phones because Chinese spyware.
Hmm, interesting. Is Snapchat allowed?
Yeah, you could still send dick pics. You know, they're not against that.
Dude, but I was reading or listening to something recently where they were talking about apps like Snapchat or what have developed a lot of the deep fakes and augmented reality that is in existence right now. Like, literally the same technology that Snapchat uses to, like, put a mask on you is the same way that they recreate deep fakes.
Are you telling me that there's people out there sending fake dick pics?
I These wonder, can you...
These are, like, non-existing dicks. These are dicks whose veins have never ran in those directions. You're telling me that this technology exists. I mean, this is over. The world is over. Call it in now. It's over. There's fake dicks on the internet right now. Like, what the fuck's happening?
deep fake dick pics. Oh, my God. It's so beautiful. Because I don't think they're using that technology that way. It's more like find someone with a big dick and put your face on it. Not like, you know, AI dicks. I think we're going in the right direction here. Come up with an algorithm that literally produces different genitalia outcomes. You know, it'd be like Rust in real life, except you can kind of move the bar left or right to how big or small you want to be. How veiny. Oh, there should be an algorithm for veininess too.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Dude, the quicker we can get into the simulation and actually have, you know, the veiniest, largest penis possible, that sounds like a win-win situation for humanity.
Yeah, the more veins, the better. Everybody knows that. The veinier dick is the bigger dick. I don't know how I got all the way here. What the fuck is happening? But I mean, it's the AI, man. The machine is brainwashing us just like they're brainwashing us with fucking other porn. They're like, oh, you know, quadruple F titties, that's attractive. I'm like, how did those come to be? I don't know. Fuck.
But getting back to the correlation of veininess and dicks, I can almost see that. Like, the more vascular a dick would be is the more, like, you would be able to grow it because you could pump that much more blood to it, you know? You've never seen a belly button dick that had veins? Not even one. It's like a...
I've never seen a belly button dick, but I guess that's beside the point.
No, I guess you gotta watch, like, British porn or something. They got small dicks over there sometimes, you know? I don't watch that, you know, like, fucking BBC shit. I'm looking at small dicks, man. I look at BBCs, I get all fucking pee-pee-hearted.
Yeah, that makes sense, you know? Why feel embarrassed, you know? Just look for small dick porn.
Yeah, exactly. Small dick porn.
Lots of white dudes, you know, lots of Jews, Chinese guys.
That's beautiful. Fuck yeah. Does anybody ever look up, like, tiny vagina porn? Would that be a thing?
I think that's illegal.
No, that's not what I mean.
That's what Jeffrey Epstein was trying to do, bro. He was trying to just look up the fucking
that's how he died.
Tiny vagina porn.
That's how he died. Looking at tiny vagina porn. Fucking that's a whole another debacle that we'll get into later tonight. By the way, just for the record, y'all, Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. No. At least I don't think. But yeah, if you're out there on TV watching line, thanks for watching. Check us out, verbose.xyz. We're always here every Wednesday, 10 o'clock, 10 to 10:15 Mountain Standard Time. Fuck around. But yeah, we'll talk about some Jeffrey Epstein tonight. We'll talk about some Iran, obviously. But something that we won't have clips or really talk about any other time tonight other than now is, how about that impeachment, my dude?
Oh, fuck yeah. That shit is progressing so fast. The evidence is just piling up. I say this is just so substantiated. Never mind. What the fuck is happening? 3 weeks. They still haven't even fucking turned in their fucking their indictment.
Articles of impeachment. Yeah.
What the fuck? What the fuck is happening? How is this? Why? Like, it's been longer now, 3 weeks, than the whole trial took. Like, how the fuck did this happen?
Right.
Like,
and
is how are we expecting? No one knows.
Yeah, exactly. Is he currently impeached? That's the other thing. That's kind of crazy to think that without these papers turned in, which was a done deal, you know, already voted on fucking 3 weeks ago. Hello, McFly, time to turn in those papers. Let's get this shit going. Holidays are over. Nancy Pelosi still seems to have them sitting on her desk. I don't know. I don't really understand what that's all about. Again, this total abuse of power, in my opinion, where you're just hijacking the whole country and hijacking the whole narrative, where we're left waiting, you know, with bated breath, fucking nothing happens with this. And this is why the American people, you're starting to see this shift where all the voter registrations are turning more towards independent. People that are starting to reject the idea of the left-right paradigm and just vote for like what actually works for America. And that, boys and girls, is why Trump is going to get reelected. I'm sorry. I'm as disappointed as all y'all. But please, for the love of God, someone come forth and conquer. Yeah, that person is Tulsi Gabbard.
Yeah, that's what I'm about to say right there. For God's sakes. Everyone just vote different. The fucking Democrats are fucking you. The Republicans and Trump are fucking you. Like, walk away. Walk away. Quit being taken hostage. You know, like the Stockholm syndrome, you know, we can break it. We can break free. We can move to a third party and we can quit this stupid bullshit out.
You know how like Alex Jones was trying to say break the conditioning? This is the real break the conditioning. He got swallowed by Mossad and the neocons. Alex Jones. The money got to him. He got taken out.
Yeah.
Literally an agent. And if I'm wrong, Alex Jones, please, for the love of God, come on our show. But I don't stand corrected currently, and I'll continue to go with the show because as Joe Rogan would say, it's a podcast. You can say whatever the fuck you want. It's not. It doesn't have to be factually accurate.
Yeah.
So Alex Jones, fuck you, Alex Jones. You're a Mossad agent that works for the neocons, and you're just, you know, and you're forgetting the point of breaking the conditioning, which is looking at the system that's in place and deciding what's best for your communities and the people past the left and right paradigm. So fuck that shit. I really do hope that Tulsi Gabbard runs as an independent for the election. I would 100%, she will definitely have my vote. Otherwise, it's going to eat my dick, John McAfee. Or should I say, I won't eat my dick, John McAfee.
Fucking liar, man. Fucking liar, went back on his word. I can't trust this guy to be president. He's going to be like, I promise to do anything. Fucking come to work tomorrow. He fucking won't. He'll be like, oh, well, that was obviously a ploy to get you to invest more in Bitcoin.
I mean, if he really wanted to get elected, he would run on the campaign of being the first eunuch president.
Yeah, I ate my dick. Vote for me. I ate my dick. That's a man you can believe in.
Yeah, exactly. I kept my word. Bitcoin didn't make it to a million in 2021. I'll eat my dick. Okay. Dick eater. Dick eater for president.
Or just vote Tulsi, because those would be some really nice titties to fucking be able to look at. You know, I don't know. It'd be the best titties to ever fucking, you know, sit in the White House, I bet.
Before we diverge too far from John McAfee, I want to make it a point to talk a little bit about crypto, because it's become a source of contention with YouTube. Tulsi titties, hashtag Tulsi titties, says El Japo. I totally 100% agree. If you agree too, please share the hashtag Tulsi titties. It should be Tulsi titties 2020 for sure. But yeah, fucking, oh God, where was I going? What? I just got derailed. What the fuck? Second time in the show, man. It's the coffee. Fucking hit me hard today.
Well, right. We were going somewhere. We're definitely going somewhere.
Yeah, Tulsi fucking election. Oh, crypto. Yeah, we got to talk about crypto. We have to talk about crypto because YouTube's like, fuck you. You're not allowed to talk about crypto, so we got to talk about crypto. We're on all the platforms, so if we get banned from YouTube, fuck them anyways.
Yeah, fuck you, YouTube.
Fuck you, YouTube. You're copyright. Fuck copyrights, too. Anyways, fucking, so it seems since this whole Iran deal, which we'll get into a little bit later, since this whole Iran deal is going down, it's kind of affected crypto in a positive way. It's like people treated gold in the past where they would run to it as like a safe hedge bet in times where, you know, things could become less valuable. So I don't know. We've been closer to 7,500 for the past month or so. This is the first time I've seen us breach. We're at like 8,400 at its high today. We're probably sitting at like 79 now. Like, not bad. Not. It's the most, and it's nothing to really report, but it's the most action I've seen in like a good 3 or 4 weeks. Where before that it was like, oh, this shit's dead. We're sitting at like 6,000. So it's like this gradual push up. What do you think? Do you think the conflict in Iran has any effect on what's going on with Bitcoin, or do you think that this is other things in play, or is just Bitcoin dead? Should we just sell now?
Bitcoin's dead. Sell now. just kidding. it might have something to do with some kind of conflict like that, and you know, like, I guess Bitcoin could be used as like a hedge against, you know, a modern currency system. if you're worried that U.S. dollar is going to drop against the euro or something like that, you know, Bitcoin might be a good way to move in between the two.
Interesting. That's actually a good idea. What about dinars or anything like that?
I mean, I want some gold dinars. That's some like real gold right there.
Hell yeah, same. That sounds like a safe bet right there. But yeah, I'm happy crypto's doing something. And I hope that people are finding use in it in hard times. You know, if you're trying to protect your money or whatever, you know, good on you. Don't let the man bring you down.
Yeah.
And that was sponsored by the YouTube censorship team. Never talk about cryptocurrency ever on your podcast. Speaking of which, I see all these motherfucking podcasters, even Jamie from Joe Rogan uses fucking Brave browser now. Everybody's on that shit, man. I feel like BAT is the wave of the future.
Are they on them tokens, you think, too? Or do you think they just want to use the browser because it's fucking like, ooh, it's not Google anymore, guys. And
even though it's literally the same fucking, it's written on the same engine.
Firefox, I still feel, is the better browser. Firefox still is the best. In my personal opinion,
I like Brave. I like Brave because it has a lot of built-in security features to it. It goes out of date quickly, and you definitely have to sometimes re-download it, especially in Linux. It just fucks up repeatedly. And I think in that way, the tokens kind of get lost a lot more because I don't think there's a lot of people that would back up their shit unless you really know what you're doing. So I don't know. You know, I like it. It runs a lot cleaner than fucking Chrome. Like, if I, because I have like, you know, 60 million tabs open at one time. So like, if I'm on Brave, it doesn't feel like it bogs down my machine. If I'm on Chrome, definitely the case. Which I can't say that on this rig because this thing's a fucking beast. But I'm talking about like if I'm on, you know, a laptop or something like that. You feel me?
Do you remember when Chrome was like the fastest fucking thing out there? Like you switch to Chrome and you're like, oh my fucking god, this is the internet.
It's like this finally, it's like bing bang right into my Oculus. Yeah.
It's the internet. It felt new, it felt faster, it felt like it loaded better, it felt like it was smarter. And I don't know what the fuck happened after that. But I
remember when Google said don't be evil?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That kind of went to shit, huh?
Yeah. That went to shit. Even the founders quit. Like, fuck this bitch. We're out.
Fuck this bitch. I'm out.
Google's the devil.
Yeah. They didn't want to be evil. Or did they? I don't know. It's crazy to unleash such a beast. I could never imagine. You know, imagine you're the guy who fucking creates the AI that takes over the world. How fucked up would that be? And you like, it moves so quickly, you watch it divulge right before your face. Fuck, man.
Do you think it would worship you as like a god? You know, like you're the creator.
What? I don't know. Like the creator aspect seems strange to me. Like, especially from a human perspective, if you're creator, don't you think you could just do anything? Just like create and destroy, or like change or morph into whatever you want. You know, the result that you would have.
Yeah. Yeah. And now you proved the world is a simulation, and God's programmer. So no need for a podcast, everybody. Shut it down. We out. Shut,
mic drop moment. We out. God is an algorithm. The great programmer in the sky is the algorithm since algorithms since algorithms. Fuck yeah. Peace in the Middle East. Do you remember when that was a thing?
It's never been a thing, but I remember when it used to be a saying, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. Remember when it used to be a saying? You remember when people used to believe it?
I don't know which part of the Middle East they were talking about, because they never educated any of us about geography.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just now at my old age fucking starting to, like, grasp where, like, Qatar is and shit, you know?
Like, I mean, when you were, you know, younger and you heard this phrase, I feel like you were like me. Like, is this this imagined dirt patch in the middle of somewhere past Europe, right?
Like, I mean, for real, though. For real. Like, I'm thinking pyramids and sand and fucking amber-colored people that walked, like, the dude the Egyptian dance.
Yeah, and Alibaba and Aladdin, yep. Flying carpets and shit.
Fucking A. Seriously. Seriously, dude. And then later, as I got older, it turned into, like, fucking gas station owners. Even, you know, like, okay. I remember this is okay. There's this Pakistani dude that lived up there that had a shop up the street from where I grew up, and that being my concept for like Middle East. But they sound so Indian though.
So thank you.
Thank you. Yes. And this guy wasn't a thank you though. He was like a get the fuck out my store kind of guy.
It's like the Simpsons, the Apu.
Apu, yeah.
Yeah. I think that was his name in the Simpsons. Mm. Yeah. The Quickie Mart owner. Like that stereotype that kind of lasted for so long.
They erased that motherfucker from the Simpsons, huh?
Yeah, he don't exist anymore.
That's bullshit, man. Like talk about you know, the upright like immigrant citizen who like made a name for himself. That's like, isn't that something like an idea that you should want to pump into culture? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, Tulsi Titties 2020, just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. I said it. Fuck. Anywho. Jesus fucking Christ.
Jesus fucking Christ. Where the fuck do we go?
You know, Muhammad or Jesus Christ? Sunni or Shiite? How about that? What side would you pick?
There's a bad side to choose. Like, you got some fucking crazy fanatics, or you got some fucking crazy fanatics. I mean, you're pretty fucked. You're pretty fucked.
Oh my god, I love it. I can't even believe that exists. And that's the war that we've been involving ourselves for over a decade. How long has it been, man? It's been fucking 2 decades now, huh? Since 2001, so like 19 fucking years. Wow. Memories of fucking wars past. This never ending war. Everyone's talking about World War III. Bro, what the fuck have we been in for fucking ever?
Yeah, this perpetual war. This never ends.
Yeah. We'll get it. Ah, fuck it. Should we get... Oh, wait. No, I got something we should engage in tonight. Humor me here, Crafter. Fucking wait, what do we got here? Julian Michaels criticized for gross comments on Lizzo's body. It isn't gonna be awesome if she gets diabetes. Oh my god.
I disagree. I think it'd be fucking awesome when she gets diabetes and she loses a leg and she's trying to hop around all one legged, fucking obese and twerking. Like that sounds beautiful, like a beautiful disaster that no one could look away from.
Dude, and do you know how much money Lizzo can make being like an African American woman, body positive amputee? I mean, I'm seeing dollar signs there, dude. Fuck.
What the fuck? No, that's so bad. Why? Oh, that's not an image we need to make positive. I mean, oh god.
Oh my god. And that this is a good segue here actually, because I want to do a thing, because this is our, second show in 2020, right?
Sure,
Yeah, because we did, we had a show on the day that we turned 2020 again. Welcome to this new decade, y'all. Anyways, I want to go through a list of a few people who died in 2019 and be like, do we give a shit or not? Yeah, sounds fun, right?
Oh, God.
First, I want to go through some rappers because fuck yeah. I want to actually, I want to go through this list because I don't know a lot of these people, and I'm wondering, because you're more versed than I am, if you actually know these people. Blows my mind. The first one, obviously, is Nipsey Hussle. Do we care that he's dead or not?
I would say no. No one gives a fuck this guy's dead. No one knew who he was until he did die. And supposedly, he was some great, but no one liked him. No one.
So this is a little peep kind of motherfucker?
No, he's been around longer than that shit, but he was never mainstream.
Do you give any credence to the conspiracy theories that he was murked because he was getting to the bottom of some sort of pedophile ring?
Isn't that the same idea that they had for Chris Cornell?
Yes, it is.
And Chester. You know, they all just worked together. It was Nipsey. Nipsey was tracking down the fucking the pizza parlor owners, man, who were fucking trafficking children. Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
With fucking Isaac Cappy. He was
fucking Isaac Cappy. What a creepy motherfucker. His last message was weird. You know, like, I betrayed you guys. And then fucking jumps off a bridge or got suicided. He was the pre-Epstein. All right. Okay. So next rapper that died in 2019. I don't know who this guy is. Maybe you could tell me. His name is Cadet. He's out of England. You know this guy?
Exist. I don't even know. Never.
Okay. All right. Moving on. How about this guy? Kevin Frett.
No, never heard of him.
Yeah, Puerto Rican rapper, Latin Trap's first openly gay pioneer. Interesting. There's this trap house. You know what trap house is?
No, but...
His name's Tyke Patterson? No? No? Okay. Did you know Tech N9ne died in fucking 2019?
No.
Akeem Mickens?
Oh, some rapper with the same rapper name, huh?
Is that what it is?
It's not the real Tech N9ne.
Oh, you're right. He's like Tech N9ne with a nine, not like how it's spelled as the group. Yeah, fuck you. I'm glad you're dead, actually. Fucking any Tech N9ne listeners out to you, you're fucking faggots, bro. I'm telling you. It's a real Tech N9ne. Fuck it. It was an accident. All right. Do you know this bitch, Nino Ross DeBoss?
Fuck that bitch last week. No, I have no idea.
See, like, all these fucking boo-boo-ass rappers died in 2020. All right, or 2019. Here's one that I do want to know the answer to. And RIP, Bushwick Bill.
He was a midget.
That gives him some credit, right? I personally listen to a lot of Ghetto Boys, and I listen to his solo shit, and I think he's fucking amazing. So,
how many bitches did that midget fuck, you think? How many midgets? How many?
Right?
How many midget fuckings did he get?
The question is, how many midget bitches this midget fuck?
Yeah. Maybe a whole bunch of midget bitches.
Yeah, all the midget bitches. He got actual bitches too. Not that midget bitches aren't actual bitches too. I'm just saying, you know, he got normal size bitches. All right. Do you know who Succeed Fly Guy is?
No.
I wish you could see his picture too. It's fucking hilarious. He looks like what's that guy that smokes crack and shit? Fucking y'all cowards don't even smoke crack.
Y'all cowards don't even smoke crack.
The fuck is that guy's name? Anyways, he looks like his fucking grandpa with dyed red hair. And there's this boy, Lil Jon. I don't know who. Do we know Lil Jon?
Yeah.
No, see, the picture is some. It's J-O-H-N. It's not even J-O-N. It's not the real one.
These motherfuckers are like.
I know. Fucking Walmart stealing names and shit. Damn. Yeah, fuck. You know, okay, this whole list is fucking gay. And the only ones that really matter are this one, and I'm glad he's dead. Juice WRLD. Juice WRLD 2019. Are you sad?
No. I'm glad that the world juiced in his mouth.
And I'm glad when he was dying, the juice came out of his mouth. I heard he seized.
Okay, maybe I'm going too far. Maybe I'm not really glad because I didn't really care. I didn't really like what he did. And, you know, like, it was obvious he was some kind of fucking hopeless drug addict. So, I mean, you know, math adds
deuces.
Up. Overdose.
Deuces, bro. Deuces, bro. Although I do enjoy your music, not because it's good, because it's some of the most terrible shit I've heard in a really long time, and it befuddles me that you actually made money. So RIP Juice WRLD, fucking way to, you know, fucking hustle the game to death. Other notable deaths in 2019 that aren't in the rap world. How about John Witherspoon? You sad about John Witherspoon?
I mean, he was pretty funny. Pretty funny guys, Craig's dad and Friday.
Okay, yeah. He did a bunch of shit, though. Yeah, Pops, exactly, El Japo, Pops. And oh, I didn't see your comment before, rapper in a quotation part. Yeah, I feel you on that. Like we discussed earlier, rap kind of died in the early 2000s. Like, I really feel like 50 Cent was the end of an era. All right, do you care about Eddie Money? Did he affect your life musically?
Not really, but I mean, he definitely had a somewhat of an impact for sure.
Okay.
Not me on plus me personally, minus. But some other people.
Plus or minus for El Japo. Let's see, fucking, how about Cameron Boyce? Do you know who Cameron Boyce is?
Is that gay kid from fucking
Adam Sandler movie? Yeah. He's also a Disney dude.
Why'd he die? Did like he have an asthma attack or something? Or
I don't know, man. I didn't even read. I almost feel like it was drug related, but I can't really remember. I don't care that much, to be honest. He looked like a fucking pathetic emo kid, but
he was a very funny gay kid in that one movie.
Yeah, that one movie. What fucking? I wish we had a Gary. I could definitely tell you. It was Grown Ups.
No, I think it was maybe it was Grown Ups, but maybe.
Yeah, he was also in the Disney series Jesse and franchise Descendants, which is weird how they spell Descendants. Is that right? Weird. I don't know. How about, you know, Harold Price is? He did. Fucking Rip Torn. You miss Rip Torn?
Yeah, I miss Rip Torn. Necessary, I drink my own urine.
Oh my fucking god, that's awesome. RIP Rip Torn. Oh, El Japo's right on board with that. 1,000,000%. It's sterile, fuck. Exactly. Fucking, how about Beth Chapman? Do you know who that is? Dog the Bounty Hunter's wife?
I mean, I remember her tits. Those things were like the size of a house.
Right, exactly. Would you motorboat Beth Chapman?
Not now. I'm not into rigor mortis.
That was going to be my next question, too. Fucking, yeah. So people died in 2019. In general, do you care that people died in 2019?
I mean, there's always going to be someone who dies. And I feel like it's just a kind of a competition to not be you. But if it is you, you know, take it like a man.
That's what I'm fucking saying. Just like the Vikings, do it with a fucking smile. Keep your chin up as you get in your head fucking clean slit off. I'm sure Jeffrey Epstein did the same thing as he was murked by his comrades trying to keep the family secret going. Nope. Well, fuck. I think it's about that time we watch some clips. What say you?
Clips.
Hell yeah. I don't want to jump right into Iran. I want to keep it a little bit light. So let's have a Maury Povich moment for Hunter Biden. Turns out he is the father. Check this fucking shit out. Let's get a puff of this shit.
I'm your host, Mike Page. Always great to be here with you. Yeah, where is Hunter Biden? We've been hearing those calls, and President Trump really started. Where's Hunter? Remember? And, well, don't hear about him too much, but we do have something in the news that we want to bring to you, and it has to do about his new child that came to light late last year. Here's some video of Hunter Biden, just in case you forgot what he looks like here. This is the latest on Hunter Biden.
Picture
as Hunter Biden has affirmed a judge's order to grant London Roberts primary custody of their child. Court papers filed today show the son of the Democratic candidate and former Vice President Joe Biden submitted court papers through his attorney, Brent Langdon, confirming that any custody-related disagreements Hunter Biden and Roberts might have had are, quote, moot and have been resolved. Judge Holly Myers of Independence County, Arkansas Circuit Court granted Roberts sole custody of their child, who has been identified as NJR. Just yesterday, Myers ordered that Roberts would have legal custody of the party's child. Court documents show Hunter Biden is named as the non-custodial parent.
So, yeah, essentially, this stripper has...
But he would have right to visit with him and his son, but he must reach an agreement with Roberts first, according to Myers' ruling there. Biden and Roberts met at a Washington, D.C. strip club where she worked. A DNA test and subsequent court papers confirmed Hunter
fucking
Biden
stripper.
Is the baby's father. Parents are still at odds over issues such as child support. A previous court document filed by Roberts' attorney alleged that Biden, quote, has had no involvement in the child's life since the child's birth, never interacted with the child, never parented with the child, and has never seen the child, and could not identify
the
child.
Of course, he
can
take care of the company. No problem.
Biden denied
no problem. Exactly.
He is, quote, not going to provide any of his discoverable financial information unless the court forces him to do it. He also rejected their notion that he had not provided support for the baby in more than a year, according to Tuesday court papers. A pretrial hearing in the case was scheduled for Tuesday at 9:30 in the morning, but was postponed in the morning until January 29th. And that's your latest Where is Hunter Biden news.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you, Fox 10, for that beautiful clip out of Phoenix. You guys have an interesting spin. I like it. But go ahead.
That gotta be fucking strippers.
The crazy thing about that is the same time that he was getting that bitch pregnant, he was fucking around with his dead brother's widow.
Yeah.
Literally, bro.
Scumbag, like, for real.
For real, dude. He was doing that at the same time fucking, you know, he's banging a stripper. Like, literally, the whole family is mourning the death of his brother, and he's out gallivanting with his brother's wife and fucking strippers, dude.
Some people mourn with their dick, bro. Some people mourn with their dick. You know, his dick was crying a lot, you know? You just can't put those tears all over the ground.
Dude, he was crying all up in stripper vaginas.
All up in them. And widow vaginas.
Fucking El Japo with the mourning wood. Get it?
And getting paid for fucking from Burisma. This guy is like the ultimate lifestyle. Like, they want us to believe that this guy is just smart enough and skilled enough and just fucking educated by the best fucking people in the world, and this is the outcome, and he deserves that kind of fucking money. What the fuck is happening? Like, is this just fucking retardania? What the fuck is happening?
That's where we live, is in retardania, my friend. I'm sorry to say. Joe Biden, I really feel like he's got that same dumb look on his face. It's like passed on from generation to generation. Like, when fucking, you know, the libtards and the SJWs talk about privilege, you should be looking at these motherfuckers. You know what I mean? These guys are, it's the ultimate nepotism of passing on their shit from family to generation without letting them be accountable for their own actions, you know? And then we just have these fucking retards that end up becoming the ones who are ruling, or the ruling class. They don't know what the fuck they're doing. They just care about their own bottom line, their own interests, to the point where they're fucking their own brother's widow and getting strippers pregnant at the same fucking time. Yeah. Blows my mind.
It is really weird. It's weird that that's the actual behavior that we're seeing, you know, like out of, you know, supposedly respected businessmen and politicians that are given government positions and stuff like that. Like, this is how do they get through these background checks? Like, the same kind of questions that come up with the Trump administration definitely come up with the Bidens. I mean, and I can understand, you know, like, it sounds like I'm just trying to fend the Republicans here, but like, it's really weird, you know, that the names that keep coming up in all these impeachment hearings are the same ones that we know of are confirmed to do these kind of behaviors to the people that they're family to. Why would they not fuck over, you know, millions of taxpayers, or, you know, millions of governments, or millions of dollars from governments, you know, like.
Right, exactly. You know, what's to say that they're not going to, you know, force a quid pro quo in another country so that they can prop up their own interests and then get their own family members put into place where they can make, you know, millions of dollars essentially doing nothing, just holding the seat on a board. Like, no experience whatsoever, man. fucking blows my mind. But there is a big win out there in the news currently. I think this just happened today. Do you remember the Covington kids?
Yeah. Yeah, he just stood there, and then he got his name smeared because he was, you know, trying to, you know, rub his whiteness into minorities' faces or something.
Yeah, that guy, that kid, exactly. Literally, these kids, it's like a fucking group of kids from Kentucky wearing fucking MAGA hats at a pro-life convention, right? And then three Native American activists are like drumming drums all up in the faces of these motherfuckers, and lo and behold, the media gets a nice little clip and then just fucking spins it out of control and smears the names of teenagers. Fucking teenagers, you know what I mean? Blows my mind. Anyway, so here's a win for them. Turns out CNN settled what could be a $257 million lawsuit with the Covington kid, Nick Sandman. Here we go.
It looks like Covington High School student Nick Sandman has scored a legal win after being smeared by the media. CNN has settled a $250 million defamation suit Sandman filed. It's over a confrontation with a Native American man that made the teenager look like the aggressor. Here, a look back at just some of the media coverage.
Some students harassing an older Native American man, a Vietnam vet, in the midst of a special ceremony.
It does look like that young man to me is taunting the Native American.
Yeah, a pro-life event.
This face-to-face confrontation igniting charges of racism.
The kid, Nick Sandman, he doesn't seem to be afraid, but he did make a choice, and that was to make it into a stand.
Yeah, he didn't back down. That was not a good choice. Oh, he should have fucking ran away.
Cuomo does not look good there. As good looking as he is, though, he keeps going to the gym. I want to know how much money this was settled for, and we'll never know.
Cuomo is a pretty man.
But this is really good news for everybody on the planet, because it's a turning point. Before, there really wasn't any consequences to social media mobbery and the cancel culture, where somebody could dig up something from Brian or Juan's past and just destroy you. Just destroy
Brian killed
you,
me in the house
you,
on
Shannon,
this clip.
Because you're squeaky clean. But now, if you know that somebody can sue you, that changes your behavior. And if you don't have deep pockets, I mean, your company's got to be worried. So I think this could put an end to the swarm, that thing that happens when somebody finds out you said something stupid when you were 16. So I hope they got something good. I hope the kid can.
So Juan, isn't this a learning moment for reporters everywhere that you should be interested in the facts, not the narrative first?
No,
give
me a break.
In the facts first, but. You know, I just don't know what this means. I think that a lot of people who don't like CNN are quick to rush and say, oh, this means CNN, you know, admitted that they did wrong. I think, I know lawyers. Good. The lawyers are like, well, if we have to go through discovery, then that means emails and discussions are going to be revealed. We may not want that out. I don't know if the kid got a dollar, but I certainly can tell you as I sit here, I don't think he got 200. Was it 250 million?
Yeah, 250 million.
He got 10%. Yeah. He'd be
10%,
happy.
10%. Yeah, right. Exactly.
25 million.
And they're still suing NBC and the Washington Post, and 13 more defendants are going to be named. ABC, CBS, The Guardian, Huffington
Gold
Post,
Mine.
NPR, and Slate, and The Hill are all coming up with going to get hit with lawsuits.
Chuching.
Juan, like you said, when you go into discovery, I mean, I used to have clients who you would talk to them and say, listen, this is how much it's going to cost you to go to trial. This is what they want in settlement. What do you want to do? And some people would say, yeah, we don't want all that stuff out there. We'll pay. I had other clients who would say, we will not pay a dime, because what we're worried about is if we pay this person, the next one's going to want it, and the next one, and the next one. So CNN had to make a lot of calculations here that, you know, went just beyond the legal issues.
Yeah, but Brian, aren't there questions about, you know, how the media handled this? I mean, they went after a teenager. They did it because he was wearing a MAGA hat. They said all these horrible things about him. His reputation was at a pro-life rally. His reputation was destroyed and put on the internet forever.
A white kid taking it on an American Indian.
And then they didn't back up and give the same amount of coverage to the entire context of the story as they did to the immediate narrative that they all put out there.
And absolutely, and that's why they had to get aggressive. I know what you're saying, Shannon. Well, a lot of people, big companies, don't want to go through it. Mm-hmm. They write the check. But in this case, this kid asked for an apology.
Yeah, and
if they just say, listen, I blew it, this thing would have been over.
Right.
So if you're that worried about your reputation, which looks bad now because you admitted your guilt and wrote a check, we don't know how big, as much as Greg needs to know, and I'm very curious to know, this kid should get a lot of money. He's going to apply to colleges now. How many colleges are going to go, I don't need this? I don't need this. Right, exactly. I'm going to move on. I got to hire that kid. I don't need
he
that.
He should not go to college. He should take the money and start a business.
Oh, no. I agree.
Oh, wait a minute. This is now we're gone away. This is your theory.
I want to manage Nick's money. All right. You call me, Nick. Yeah. I'll take care of everything
What's
for you.
What's your experience? You have no experience.
Okay. Greg also wants 10%.
He's
lost more thing is up there.
You know what he told me the other day? He's doing so happy.
So there you have it. Covington kids win one. What do you think?
I mean, it's crazy how they fucking created a narrative of something that never happened, adding details of something that never happened to try to paint it as negative as possible. And, like, it's like, who wants to agree with fake news and fucking orange man screaming fake news? But, like, it does happen to people. They just choose what they want to report. It's not what actually happened. It's what they want to support their worldview.
Interesting. But, you know, at the same token, like, at what point does this end? How many places are going to get sued? You know, how many news outlets are going to get sued? How much money is going to be involved in this?
Probably not much. I mean, not as much as we would hope. I mean, that's why they, you know, settled and probably signed NDA. Because they don't want to know, you know, how much money they actually had to pay out.
And what about, didn't you say something about the Native American guy? Didn't he get sued as well?
He's being sued for $5 million, which, you know, would completely bankrupt him and devastate him personally. But, you know, like, the fact that he didn't decide to step up and say anything either and chose to stick with the narrative with the news organizations is even more telling.
Indeed.
He was
it seems
to,
like
to smear someone's name to make a political point.
Yeah, it was like a serendipitous psyop.
It's very Jesse Smollett of fucking the world. It seems like for every real victim, there's, you know, another two faking it.
Huh. That's so. That gives me so much little faith in the world. Fuck humanity. That's how it is. To spread hate just for the sake of victimhood. Why is that what's going on right now? Why is that the fucking shroud that we want to wear? The bigger the victim, the, you know, the sweeter the juice. Fuck, man. Nah, fuck that. I want to be the hero. I want to be the fucking Trump card. Yeah, I want to be the Donald Trump card. Everybody hates the Donald. Fucking, what do you think, man? You know, transition into what the meat and potatoes of tonight with this whole Iran thing. What do you think? Donald Trump currently, is he steering, before we even listen to these clips, is he steering America wrong right now, or are we heading towards some sort of happenstance of he's doing the right thing for, you know, the world right now?
I mean, I don't know. Everyone is telling me, both sides, multiple news organizations, this is wrong. This is the wrong move. You know, that we don't need more wars, or this was a bad move to attack Iran. And you know, it's very, I don't know, sensationalized and very media hyped, and I don't feel like it's much of an escalation from where it's already been. Like, they try to act like this guy is some huge name and you know, that he's very important, but, you know, like, in the end, he was still in a foreign country attacking American interests. I feel like it was not a huge repercussion to what we've seen in other countries. We've done drone strikes in Yemen. We've done drone strikes in Iraq and Afghanistan against other people we just designate as terrorist leaders. I mean, it's not like this hasn't happened before. I feel like it's more just another reason to be outraged, another point to set themselves apart from Trump administration. But then I see some Republicans say the same thing, and, you know, like, I don't know. And it's just very confusing. To me, I feel it was probably the right choice.
Interesting. Well, I feel like Rand Paul feels different from you. So we'll start off with that clip. This is him on Fox News talking about the actual airstrike on Soleimani and Trump's Iran strategy.
Fresh reaction, Trump administration a bit earlier today insisting the strike helped protect American lives overseas.
The intel that we had, the information we had, which we believe was very strong, showed that Soleimani and those he was plotting with were looking to kill American diplomats and soldiers in significant numbers in the coming days. And that's why the president authorized the successful operation that was undertaken by the U.S. military.
So our next guest calls it a bad decision. Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky. Good morning, sir, and welcome back.
Good morning.
Here. If what Robert O'Brien just said, if true, how can you afford not to act?
I think the thing is you have to ask yourself and ask the general question, are attacks more or less likely now that Soleimani is gone? The person who has replaced him has been his assistant general for 22 years, is a hardliner, and now the whole country of Iran is consumed with revenge. So I think if you're asking yourself, will there be attacks on America, I think there's much more likely to be attacks now that with his death. But you also have to ask, if anybody thinks that there's a possibility that diplomacy would work, how it's going to work when you kill the major general of another country. So I think what we've done is we've taken diplomacy off the table, and the only possibility now is military escalation.
It's unknown how much military escalation,
but I think there will be an escalation.
On that point, I think last night you called it the death of diplomacy, if I've got your quote right. Was there much diplomacy to begin with, Senator?
Well, there was with the Iran agreement. The Iran agreement wasn't perfect, and I was a critic of the Iran agreement. However, I think it was a big mistake to pull out of the Iran agreement. We should have tried to build upon the Iran agreement. We did that, but then we placed an embargo where Iran wasn't allowed to sell any goods internationally, including their main export of oil. An act of an embargo is like an act of war, and then to top that off, we've now killed one of their major generals. I think it is the death of diplomacy, and I see no way to get it back started again until sort of the revenge of the Iranian people is somehow sated. And I hate this. I hate that this is where we're going. I've been someone who has been for engagement, but there was much less killing, there was much less violence after the Iran agreement. In fact, there was a lull in a period in which I think we were headed towards a much more stable situation with Iran, and now I think it's gone, and I think it may be gone for a lifetime.
Senator, here is the president yesterday on Rush Limbaugh on the afternoon radio program. Just react to this comment here from President Trump.
He is responsible for the IEDs, those are the roadside bombs, and then the sister, which is the big one, the big version, that actually knocks out tanks and kills everybody within earshot. He's responsible for all those incredible young people over at Walter Reed, and he should have been taken out a long time ago.
Would you take exception to that, Senator? You know that he's
been
a menace.
I think there are a lot of reports that the IEDs and then the heightened version of the IEDs were coming from Iran. Whether or not one person is responsible for that is not something I have the knowledge to really tell you. But is Soleimani a bad guy? Yes. Is the guy that replaces him a bad guy? Yes. Was Gaddafi a bad guy? Was Hussein a bad guy? Yes. But we have to ask ourselves, and President Trump has said this millions of times or thousands of times, that Saddam Hussein was a bad guy, but taking him out destabilized the region. It is about the broader implications of killing someone, not whether they're evil or not. And so foreign policy can't be based on we're going to kill everyone who we believe is evil or bad in the world. There are thousands and thousands of such people. We have to look at the ramifications of what comes next. My fear is the ramifications of this killing will be more killing, and that it's really precluded the idea of having any kind of diplomatic relations with Iran. It was already difficult before this. Yeah. Now I think it's impossible.
Two more questions. Some are suggesting things go quiet for a time. Let's see who's right in the end. You say you got bad advice. What would you have done?
What, with regard to Soleimani? Yeah. I think what I would have done is months ago, and this is what I encouraged the Trump administration, is months ago to renew diplomatic relations and have discussions. There were people, and there are moderates within Iran, who were willing to have diplomacy. Their voices are completely squelched by this. So what we've done is we have empowered the hardliners. We brought together people who might have had misgivings about the government. They are rallying around the Iranian flag now. So it's all going in the opposite direction. But there was a time, and there were people within the Iranian moderate community who did want to have discussions. That's over now. They cannot talk to us now because it's now them rallying around the flag. Anybody who is independent or indecisive or moderate is now rallying around the Iranian flag. And so, no, this has set us back a great deal. There were people who blamed the Iranian government for the economic problems they had. They had protests over gas prices a month or two ago. All those people now are rallying around the flag and rallying around this what they perceive as an aggressive move by America.
Let's see where that goes. I'm going to squeeze in one more question here on impeachment. Sir, what do you think Nancy Pelosi's strategy is? And how do you see that playing out now, Senator?
It's still hard for me to fathom how she thinks she's going to punish Republicans by withholding the impeachment, which none of us favor. So she's punishing us by not sending us the impeachment. I'm happy to be so punished for as long as it takes. She can keep the impeachment over there forever, as far as I'm concerned.
Senator, thank you for your time today. Rand Paul on the Hill, and come on back soon, okay? A lot to cover on that. We'll see how it unfolds over the month of January.
I kind of disagree with that last one. I'm gonna let her hold on to it as long as possible. And obviously, things have kind of panned out in such a way that it seems like things have calmed down in Iran. So, in a certain extent, Rand Paul is wrong there. But is he right on other points that, you know, our involvement over there is just going to spark other things that we don't really want to unlock? Or was Trump right in his reaction of, like, getting another one of these bad guys out of here?
I don't know. I mean, it just that he's a bad guy. I mean, I don't think it was really the full extent of the explanation. I mean, his militias have been attacking U.S. positions in Iraq and in Syria for months now. They even killed an American contractor in Iraq, a 33-year-old guy from Sacramento, California.
Yeah, he was an interpreter, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's not just a bad guy. I mean, he was attacking, you know, U.S. and U.S. Allies directly in Iraq. I mean, that's a little different than being just a bad guy. He was, you know, attacking our forces and then in the same country. So, I mean, like, the risk should have been apparent to him. I don't know. I mean,
I agree.
We talked about with a drone instead of with a sniper, which is weird as well. But, I mean, I don't know. What works, works. And this guy was, you know, actively trying to, you know, hurt or kill U.S. personnel.
But to your other point, like, I think it's crazy that the media this time has blown things out of, blown things up. I shouldn't say out of proportion, but they've really focused on, you know, the missile attacks from Iran on this base, you know, in Iraq. But I feel like, as you were mentioning earlier today, like, that's something that's been the norm for quite some time. That's what people, that's what's been going on. There's been missile attacks on that base, like, the past weeks, and no one's really said anything about it. What can you speak to that?
I mean, exactly. There's been missile attacks, in December, and even on the same airbase that was attacked with these 10 missiles. You know, if they've taken missile attacks before, there was missile attacks on their bases just days ago. I mean, it's just become a normal occurrence. I mean, I think we saw a clip of Tulsi talking about, you know, when she was in Iraq.
Actually, we could watch that clip right now.
Yeah. But
go ahead.
But she's saying, you know, that, you know, this was during, you know, the height of the war in 2005.
2003.
The daily missile attacks and rocket attacks were a norm for life there of U.S. Soldiers. So, I mean, it kind of is a double-edged blade there. Like, were these extra missile and rocket attacks, you know, really, you know, something that needed to be answered to? Who knows? But then again, you know, if someone from a foreign country comes into, you know, where your U.S. base is and attacks you, can that be ignored either? It's a difficult situation.
In my mind, this whole missile attack was nothing more than a 21-gun salute to their general, you know? They were going to fucking make a big deal out of it, saying, America, you will pay! You will pay! And then fucking light off a bunch of rockets like they have before, like it's fucking Christmas. Lo and behold, an Iraqi fucking informant, you know, tells U.S. troops and the amount of time where they'll be able to take cover properly. So, no, you know, there's no confirmed deaths, they're saying on the radio, but I don't really think anybody was hit or damaged. Everything's all good, you know. Just a vulgar display of power, as we see repeatedly in these countries. The amount of money that it would be to, like, fucking be like, I'm just going to bust one off, you know. That's a crazy display of power. And I just hope that the internet and young people eventually, like, kind of outnumber those fanatics in other countries and realize you can have a better life too, you know? I really hope time kind of heals all things, you know what I'm saying? But speaking of which, I want to play that clip from that Tulsi Gabbard press conference where she's talking about missile attacks and describing her experience in Iraq. This is Tulsi Gabbard fielding questions at one of her press conferences. Here we go. Oh, God. I hit enter on the wrong screen. That's what happens when you have four screens. Here we go.
You are in a unique position. You are the only Iraq War veteran who is running for president currently. You also have previously deployed and you're still active duty. Can you talk to me a little bit about the human toll of the attack today in Iraq, a place where you served? And but can you just talk to me a little bit about the price of war and the personal effect on you?
Yeah, like I can tell you, walking in here tonight and starting to see the alerts of this attack at Al-Asad Air Base brought back a flood of memories from the time that I served in Iraq in 2005 during the height of the war, where in our camp and in many other camps, we received daily mortar attacks, daily rocket attacks, constantly putting our troops at risk. I just checked my phone and I've got a flood of messages from friends of mine who I deployed with, some who are still serving in the National Guard or reserves or active duty. And honestly, they're texting me saying, what the fuck is going on? Those of us who have served there understand very clearly the serious ramifications and the cost of what is happening here, and the fact that we do not need to be here, nor should we be as a country in the position of waging yet another wasteful, unnecessary war.
I'm surprised she didn't say regime change war.
Yeah,
maybe that was her publicist. Huh?
Yeah, it's usually her line.
She's lying?
No, that's usually her line. Is regime?
Yeah, that's usually her line. Yeah, regime change war. She can't help but say it. You know, it's like your fucking tagline. She was on Tucker tonight too, and talking about regime change war. But she really has inflections like Obama. She's like female sounding Obama. It's funny. She doesn't have the, you know, a lot of the same policies. Unless she really wants to go with the hope thing and then fucking become a warmonger herself when she gets into office. Who knows? You know, we haven't had a legit president since, God, Lincoln? I don't know. Everybody says JFK. I kind of like Jimmy Carter. I thought he got a bad rap. I think he did a lot of good things after his presidency for sure. But I digress. Fucking... the reason that I like listening to Fox News a lot of times is because you see both sides of things. And Tulsi, obviously they have Tulsi on, which I think is really cool. I think Yang has had appearances on there on certain shows. I might be wrong about that. Obviously Rand Paul is a centrist that leans more right. His dad is way cooler. But Tucker Carlson lately with the populist propaganda, I'm fucking enjoying it. This next clip is off of Tucker Carlson, and this is again a little bit late, like that that Rand Paul clip. Just to give you kind of perspective of when this happened, the news was coming out, and then the next clip I'll play after, you know, that came out from today, to see how the narrative kind of shifts once the information is in play. So this is on Tucker, I think yesterday or 2 days ago. It's DC Insider's push for war with Iran. Here we go.
But first, if you were at an airport over the weekend, you may have seen American troops on the move, leaving their families on their way to the Middle East. Now, just a month ago, not one in 100 Americans was thinking about Iran. Now, suddenly, we are on the brink of war. In Washington, that is considered an upgrade, indeed a massive improvement. It's harder to get rich and powerful in Washington during peacetime, so our leaders have a built-in bias for war. And so they descended on television studios over the weekend to describe in detail the kind of violence they're prepared to wreak on a country very few of them know anything about. Here, for example, is Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina.
If the Iranians hit American targets and American interests and American allies, we will respond militarily. If they hit us again, then I would not want to be working in an Iranian oil field, because I think the president is determined to bring this regime to its knees if they continue to be provocative.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, assured reporters that the U.S. seeks, quote, de-escalation with Iran, and then just moments later suggested the U.S. might bomb dozens of sites inside Iran itself.
President Trump is saying that there are 52 sites that the U.S. would target if Iran retaliates. How is that consistent with what you say is your message of de-escalation?
Entirely consistent.
Threatening to bomb mainland Iran?
The Iranian leadership needs to understand that attacking Americans is not cost-free. To take a terrorist off the battlefield does not increase the risk of terror. The risk of terror is increased by appeasement.
The risk of terror is increased by appeasement. It's a good line, and it may be true, probably is true. Of course, the risk of terror is also increased by bombing other people's countries. That is also indisputably true. It's hard to remember now, but as recently as last week, most people didn't consider Iran an imminent threat. Iranian saboteurs were not committing acts of terror in our cities. Oh, but our leaders tell us they were about to any second, and that's why we struck first. What's so striking is how many people appear to accept this uncritically. Just the other day, you remember, our intel agencies were considered politically tainted and suspect. Certainly on this show they are, were, and will be for quite some time. Keep in mind, these are the people who invented excuses to spy on the Trump campaign purely because they didn't like Donald Trump's foreign policy views. And they're the ones who pretended he was a Russian agent in order to keep him from governing. Remember that? Russiagate? Our friends in the intel community did that. And by the way, these are the same people who lied about Iraq's weapons of mass destruction way back in 2002, and by doing that, got us into an utterly pointless war that dramatically weakened our country. The people pushing conflict with Iran are the same people who did that. It seems like about 20 minutes ago, we were denouncing these very people as the deep state and pledging never to trust them again without verification. But now, for some reason, we do seem to trust them implicitly and completely. In fact, we believe whatever they tell us, no matter how outlandish. Iran did 9/11, they're telling us. Oh, okay. Didn't know that. 15 of the 19 hijackers were from Sunni Saudi Arabia. None were from Shiite Iran. But if you say so, Mr. Unnamed CIA official, I'm happy to send my kid to the Middle East a week after Christmas on the basis of your anonymous, unverified leak to the New York Times. You've earned my trust through years of lying to me. That appears to be our position now. Now, maybe all of this will turn out fine in the end. We're certainly praying for it. We love this country. But in the meantime, pardon the skepticism.
Mic drop, fucking Tucker Carlson. What do you think?
I mean, I don't know who's been saying they did 9/11.
That's true. Who did say that?
I don't know. I mean, that was pretty far. I don't know anyone who said that. I definitely haven't said that.
yeah, I've never said that, but he did say who did say it.
Yeah, I mean, and I do feel...
Or like did do it, sorry.
The media has gone really far with it. Like, oh, it's going to go to war. We're going to have to attack Iran. And then I guess even Trump's tweets, you know, with the 52 sites and shit. Like, that's going too far. Like, I feel defending our positions in Iraq is way different than attacking Iran in their own country. If they send soldiers into Iraq, that's an active war zone. You know, like, I don't know. It's not the same as invading their country. It's not the same.
Yeah, it's true. But Iraq isn't our country either. It's just, you know, we occupy. We have occupation there.
Exactly, but we did take it, just like we took many other places.
Mm, indeed. So, fuck, I mean, it is just a civil war, though, you know, between the Sunni and Shiite. And if you don't ride a camel, you ain't Shiite. So what the fuck? Like, we can support ourselves on oil. What the fuck do we care?
I mean, in a way, I mean, but, and, you know, like, they were fighting against ISIS, you know, and we definitely, you know, I think as people would agree that ISIS and the videos and all that propaganda, if it was real, then, I mean, they were definitely a horrible organization that we couldn't have exist either. So, I mean, it's tough to say. It's really tough to say.
That is tough to say. Like, how much of how our perspective lies internationally is based on propaganda. The world may never know.
Yeah. It's, we don't get a real picture, so it's hard for us to judge. We're not, you know, like, we do see the news stories about, you know, rocket attacks in Iraq or a certain amount of soldiers died or IED hit a truck. We see stuff like that, but they're not giving us the picture of the organizational structure or the different tribes or, you know, that Iran was even involved in these militias. You know, like, these kind of facts kind of were never painted as a broad picture to the American public.
Right. And was that even known? Are they just starting to figure this out now? Are they just starting to scratch the surface of who's involved? You know, who knows? Really. It seems like one blunder through fucking a never-ending war to me. So Tucker follows up today, actually, And this is it was his opening to the show before he had Tulsi Gabbard on. Madam President, should I say. And this one's entitled Time to Leave Iraq. Here we go.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. The war has been postponed, it turns out, a day after the Islamic Republic of Iran fired a salvo of ballistic and cruise missiles into a pair of military bases in Iraq. We are back from the brink. This morning, in a live address to the nation, which you no doubt saw, the president announced that Iran's missiles had landed harmlessly. No American troops were killed and no Iraqis either. It turned out to be a purely symbolic bombing designed to stop rather than start a larger war. As the president explained, at least for now, the hostilities are over.
Our great American forces are prepared for anything. Iran appears to be standing down, which is a good thing for all parties concerned and a very good thing for the world.
A very good thing for the world. That's a big claim, but in this case, it is not an overstatement. For the past 5 days, all of us have had, if nothing else, a chance to ruminate on what war with Iran would mean for us here in the United States. And of course, at best, it would be tragic. Very easily, it could become a catastrophe. We've had time to think about it. We ought to be saying prayers of thanks that it didn't happen. We came close. And in fact, we're still close tonight. Thousands of American troops remain stationed in Iraq. And that's a country, we just learned, that is largely run by Iran. Think about that. After nearly 17 years of American occupation, Iran's most powerful military leader, a man that we considered a terrorist, was flying in and out of Baghdad's airport like he owned it. That's how comfortable he felt in Iraq, a place that we supposedly control. Now the government of Iraq, which need to be reminded to be created out of nothing and then spent untold billions propping up for more than a decade, is taking Iran's side in this dispute and demanding that Americans leave the country. So 17 years, trillions of American dollars, more than 35,000 Americans killed or wounded. You probably know one. And this is what we get at the end in return, another Iranian proxy state that hates us. It's infuriating. In fact, it's worse than infuriating. It's immoral. And the people who let this happen should be punished, the Americans who let it happen. The casual recklessness they displayed, the utter incompetence. It's all an insult to the memory of the thousands of Americans who died in Iraq. This mismanagement of that country by our elites is one of the saddest things America has ever done. And yet suddenly there may be an upside to all of this sadness, and it's this. We can go now. Iraq's democratically elected government has asked us to leave, and we should leave immediately. Remaining in Iraq increases the power of bureaucrats and think tanks in Washington. It does do that, and that's why they're in favor of it. But as the last week has shown, it imperils the lives of Americans, and for no good reason. We can't turn Iraq into Belgium. We tried that. It didn't work. It's never going to work. We don't need their oil anymore. A lot has changed since 2003. We've got fracking now. And so it's time to go. Oh, but you can't just leave Iraq, scream the think tankers and the TV war planners. It's irresponsible. They miss the irony. But you can't leave. Well, actually, you can. Here's how it's done.
How does the United States get out of this situation? Is there a way out?
You know how they get out? They get out. That's how they get out. Declare victory and leave. Because I'll tell you, this country is just going to get further bogged down. They're in a civil war over there, Wolf. There's nothing that we're going to be able to do with a civil war. They are in a major civil war, and it's going to go to Iran, and it's going to go to other countries. They are in the midst of a major civil war.
That was 2007, 13 years ago. It was good advice then. We should have taken it. It's not too late. Let's do it now.
So what do you think? That last little bit really intrigues me with Trump in 2007 being all like, just get out. Sounds similar to someone, you know, some Tulsi Gabbard.
Yeah, and probably overall that might be the best option. I mean, I'm not sure like for, 20, 30 years in the future, what will happen, but and for American interests, I mean, there's no reason to continue being there. I mean, there's no benefit to us. It's only a risk.
Yeah. Interesting how a perspective shift from the beginning to the end. The propaganda is strong tonight. Verbose.xyz. Speaking of propaganda, did Jeffrey Epstein kill himself?
Definitely not.
Yeah, I'm kind of saying the same thing. Did Sandy Hook happen?
Probably not.
Ah, yes, we'll talk about it. I love this. Fuck you, YouTube algorithm. Fuck you. this is last clip tonight's a little bit long. I think it's in the 7 minute range, but this is straight off, hot off the presses from 60 Minutes on Sunday. It's kind of a synopsis of what they went over, and a little bit of the semantics of the investigator known as Bottas, Dr. Bottas. This motherfucker is hired by Jeffrey Epstein's brother, and he's investigating, you know, the cause of death. So very interesting new details released, including a lot of photos. So if you, you know, when you get a chance to check it out, you should check out some of these photos that 60 Minutes released. It's kind of chilling to see what's going on with this case and how it could unfold. But you be the judge. Did Jeffrey Epstein kill himself? Here we go. This is Jeffrey Epstein's autopsy, a closer look from 60 Minutes. Oh God, I hit enter on the wrong screen again. Fucking amateur. Here we go.
60 Minutes Overtime.
OT.
Eat.
There are mysteries surrounding Jeffrey Epstein's death. And even after reviewing all the autopsy photos, reading the autopsy, and looking at the photos from inside the cell, we still have questions. What we do know is that Jeffrey Epstein is dead. The fingerprints of the body in the morgue matched the fingerprints that were taken of Jeffrey Epstein from when he was booked in Florida.
How long does the autopsy typically take from beginning to end?
Normally about 2 hours, a routine autopsy.
We spoke to multiple pathologists for this story, and they all pretty much agree on one thing, that without knowing the position of the body, the way that Jeffrey Epstein's body was found, it's almost impossible to determine the cause of death with any certainty. Knowing the position that a body was found in is a key piece of evidence in any death investigation. And in this case, we don't know how Jeffrey Epstein's body was found.
We still don't have that information. So if this was called a suicide without all that information, it was a premature judgment.
Dr. Michael Bodden is a forensic pathologist who was hired by Mark Epstein, Jeffrey Epstein's brother, to look into the death and to kind of investigate it for the family. The autopsy reveals that Jeffrey Epstein had petechiae, which is burst vessels. Dr. Bodden says that's a key indicator that somebody's neck was compressed and that you see it more in a compression than you do see it in a hanging. We know from the autopsy that Jeffrey Epstein had a number of other injuries. There was an injury to the back of his neck and had
Bodden,
an injection
not Bodden.
Very clearly in his arm.
We don't injection
know
mark.
Right. We don't know if that happened at the hospital or if it's something else. We just don't know because we've not been able to get the medical records from inside the MCC.
There were three fractures of the neck bones.
Dr. Bodden's key reasons for being suspicious about the death of Jeffrey Epstein is the broken hyoid bone and thyroid cartilage.
Tell me about what we're seeing right here. What are we looking at?
Here is the jawbone, the jawbone of the mandible, the lower bone in the head, and underneath
this is that bottom,
at
dude.
The bottom are the clavicles on and the breastbone where the muscles insert. The red are all muscles. The hyoid bone is a small bone here just above the Adam's apple, which is the thyroid cartilage. And in Jeffrey Epstein's autopsy, there were fractures of the left, the right thyroid cartilage, and the left hyoid bone, all requiring different kinds of pressure and positioning of the noose, of the ligature.
One of the pathologists we spoke to absolutely agreed with Dr. Bodden and says, yes, that's very suspicious to have all three of those bones broken, the cartilage broken. Another pathologist we spoke to wasn't as convinced and said it doesn't necessarily indicate homicide. The doctor who performed the autopsy, while Dr. Michael Bodden observed, came to the determination that it was inconclusive and they needed more evidence, more information. And then a couple days later, they changed that and determined that the cause of death was suicide by hanging. We reached out to the New York City Medical Examiner, but they would not speak to us, presumably because there's an ongoing investigation, but we haven't heard back from that office.
In the pictures of the cell, there are multiple nooses. The fact that the medical examiner sketched one noose, this is the noose they think was responsible for killing Jeffrey Epstein.
Yes, this would be the ligature, the noose that was involved in causing the death. Mm-hmm. That's why it was sketched.
Here it says on here, it appears to say folded. The edge is folded here.
One of the things we have heard is that the guard that found Jeffrey Epstein cut him down, which you'd seem to indicate somebody cutting down a noose or something. If you look at the noose that the medical examiner examined, and you look very closely at the edges, it appears perfectly hemmed. It doesn't look like anybody ever took scissors to it. So there is some question, is that the right noose? The difficulties with this story is because they charge two guards, there is a firewall and you cannot get information because you go to the Department of Justice, you go to the FBI and say, hey, what's going on here? And they said, there's an ongoing criminal investigation. We can't tell you anything. That's made it especially difficult. We've had to rely to people on the ground and sources placed throughout the story. We have examined many photos, looked at the evidence, and talked to so many people, but we still have many questions, and we're looking forward to getting more answers.
So there you have it. The facts are in. I wouldn't say facts. The more evidence has been has shown up on the block. Some of that shit's weird, man. Like the cutting down of the noose. To me, it seems like it's a lot of material in his cell, like pens and things like that. Like someone on Suicide Watch, would you have these things in your possession? It's kind of weird to me.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit in there.
Yeah, I mean, the pictures, like, again, please go online, check it out. It's fucking crazy. Literally show, like, a cell full of, like, tons of clothes. There's multiple ligatures made. There's things wrapped around places, kind of loosely, actually. And the weird thing, too, is they fucking move the body, right? Why would you move the body in a situation where, like, there's been no forensics done? No investigation? Like, that's the most suspicious thing of all of it. And who the fuck moved the body? Was it those sleepy security guards?
Well, they suddenly woke up and did their jobs hours later.
Yeah. Oh, God. Let's go clean up the mess in aisle 3. And then we'll call them in the morning after we finish our nap. This is so unbelievable in my mind. Do they really think that we're going to buy it? You know? I feel like as technology gets greater and greater, what's to stop the elite from really, like, fooling us? Look at how much media is already mesmerizing the masses as we speak. Blows my fucking mind. Fuck. You know, it's an intense ride, but I'm along for the ride. 2020, new decade. And we're glad you're along for the ride with us, too. Fucking loving life in the midst of the Armageddon. World War III, we're the ones left behind. There's always been the rapture. You think Jesus take you home? Fuck no. We're along for the long haul now. Fuck around. Palestine, straight up. Straight Palestine, I'll tell you what. Right now, I'd say in Syria, we're looking a little bit Syrian bisexual. Would you say, Crafter?
Syria. Bisexual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Iraq is more of the trannies because they got, you know, the Iran-Iraq action going on there.
Yeah, Iran is rocking that straight dick, though. They're just straight dicking.
Straight dicking.
Supporting straight dicking.
Yeah, hell yeah. Straight honey dick. Just kidding. Fucking, and, you know, one thing could be said for sure. The gay is real. Shout out to Alex Jones, if you ever want to come on the show. I'd fucking love to have you. It would be fucking amazing. Please prove to us that you're not a Mossad agent. I don't want to believe it, man. But what I see before my face just kind of hurts sometimes. John McAfee, eat your motherfucking dick. It's good for you. Keep your word. And I'll vote for you for president. Tulsi Gabbard, titties for 2020. Yeah, and we are verbose.xyz. Every Wednesday we'll be here, motherfuckers. Thanks for checking us out, and we will see you next time. Diamonds hitting hard with no flash, yeah. When I had no bed, I stay with Max, yeah. Friends with my niggas, you get last, yeah.
We get this money, then we dash, yeah. I be smoking big dope, it's a fat now, yeah. Fucking with my nigga, we lay you flat now, yeah. If you talking stupid, you get smacked out, yeah. I got hoes on me, I put my rights up, yeah. Talking like you got bread, you got nothing. We ran down on you, you started running, yeah. Never been a bitch, I never fall, yeah. I can't fuck with rats, I never talk, yeah. Rich nigga to the right, you fuck it over there. I was really running since the baby was never scared. I'm the biggest nigga in my city, could be the fair. And I'm swung out deep, but I'm still gon' say a prayer. I be getting burned out, got no chain, ain't buzz out. Ask me how I got here, yeah. I don't know, now a nigga up. Yeah, they know now, all my niggas reckless, yeah. What are you about?
Yeah, we out your fucking league. We don't fucking beams, we don't do fucking beans, yeah, yeah. Sipping on this fucking lean, say you stuntin' on me, bitch, in your fucking dreams, yeah, yeah. Bitch niggas over here, and bro niggas over there. I like my bitches in twos, yes, in pairs. I like my bitch in Jimmy Choo's, playing her hair. With the bag, I do not pick and choose, I don't care.
Rich nigga to the right, you fuck it over there. I was really running since the baby was never scared. City could be the fair. And I'm swung out deep, but I'm still gon' say a prayer. I be getting burned out, got no chain, ain't buzz out. Ask me how I got here, yeah. I don't know, now a nigga up. Yeah, they know now, all my niggas reckless, yeah. What are you about?